right, in John chapter 12, you have your Bibles, John chapter 12, verse 23. We'll stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, John chapter 12, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." Lord, I thank you for the privilege of representing you tonight. I pray your blessings upon the word of God. I ask you tonight to bless this congregation. These are your people. And I know, Lord, they're valuable to you. You bought them with your blood. I pray that you'd help me to be able to speak tonight in such a way to honor you and to edify the body of Christ. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray that you'd help me, Jesus. We'll give you the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on living like a dying man. In my text, Jesus is responding to a request passed on to him by Philip and Andrew from some Greeks who had come to worship God at Jerusalem during the Passover. They came to Philip and they made this request. They said, "We would see Jesus." And so when Philip and Andrew brought this request to Jesus, Jesus responded by pointing to his imminent death. He said, "The hour is come." And Jesus was referring to the hour of his crucifixion. In effect, Jesus was saying to these people, "I'm going to be hung on a cross for all the world to see. Not only the Greeks, but the Jews will be witness to the crucifixion of Jesus. We will see Jesus." Jesus said, "You're going to see me. I'm about to be crucified." Jesus often spoke of his hour. He lived conscious of a time when he would suffer a shameful and a painful death. Jesus was only 33 and a half years old when he died, relatively young man. But he lived in those years like a dying man. Death stalked Jesus from his early days. Herod sought to kill him while he was just a child. And his own neighbors would have thrown him off a cliff and killed him after he preached in the synagogue at Nazareth. Jesus first spoke of his hour in John chapter 2 and verse 4. When he was responding to his mother's appeal to help an embarrassed, newly married couple who ran out of wine at their wedding festival, a reception. And Jesus said to his mother in John chapter 2 and verse 4, "Mine hour is not yet come." He referred again to that hour in John chapter 7 and verse 6 when his brethren who did not believe in him challenged him to go to the Feast of Tabernacles at Jerusalem. And Jesus said unto them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." Now, in this statement, Jesus may have been saying, "It isn't the right time for me to go up to the feast, but you are free to go at any time." Or he could have been saying, "It isn't my time to die, but for you, it could be any time." So in John chapter 7 and verse 30, the Jews sought to arrest Jesus, but couldn't, because the Bible says his hour was not yet come. In John chapter 8 and verse 20, Jesus taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. In his priestly prayer, in John chapter 17 and verse 1, Jesus prayed, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thyself. Glorify thou me, that I may also glorify you. The hour of his passion, of his rejection by men, his suffering was upon him. This was the hour that his whole life pointed to. Jesus often spoke of his coming death to his disciples. And so, you know, if you really read through the book of John especially, you'll see over and over again that Jesus referred to this coming hour, this coming time that he was going to give his life. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. In John chapter 7 and verse 33, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees. He said, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. He said to the Jews in John chapter 8 and verse 21, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In verse 17, he said, therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. Now these are just a few of the many times that Jesus spoke of his coming death. He was a man on a mission. He lived like a dying man. He lived like a dying man, and his life was pointing in that direction all through his life. He lived like a dying man. He lived to do the will of his heavenly Father. The Bible tells us in John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. There is a, you know, everybody has to choose what will they're going to live by. We either live by the will of the world, which the Bible talks about the will of the Gentiles, or we live by our own will, or we live by the will of God. And Jesus chose to live by the will of his heavenly Father. John chapter 4 and verse 34 says, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And then in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, quoting from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Jesus lived like a dying man. He lived for the will of his heavenly Father. This was his purpose in living, that he do not his own will, but the will of the one that sent him. This was the way Jesus lived. He lived like a dying man. Secondly, Jesus also lived to bear witness to the truth. You remember when he stood before Pilate, and Pilate was asking the question, what is truth? And Jesus said in John chapter 18 and verse 37, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. The Bible says, they that sat in darkness have seen a great light. What is that great light? It's the truth that Jesus came to bear witness of. He came into a dark world, a deceived world, a world full of error, a world full of heathen darkness. And Jesus brought light into our darkness. He came to bear witness to the truth. There's only one person that's ever been able to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I told you about some years ago sitting in a graduation service at Averett College, and the dean of the college was speaking, And he said the most dangerous people in the world are the people who say that they know the truth. Brother, there was an illumination hit me about that time. And I thought about Jesus, and I thought if that's the truth, Jesus is the most dangerous man that ever lived. Because Jesus didn't say, I know the truth. He said, I am the truth. I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And I'm telling you, if you know Jesus, you know the truth, brother, because Jesus is the truth. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I have come into the world to bear witness unto the truth. He not only lived to bear witness to the truth, Jesus lived to finish his work on earth. John chapter 9 and verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus came to do the works of him that sent me. You know, when Jesus was praying in John chapter 17, he addressed his Father. He said, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. This, I think, should be the testimony of every child of God. And when we come down to the end of life, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Jesus lived like a dying man. Jesus knew that his time was limited. He died a young man, but Jesus filled up his life with the will of God. He spent his life bearing witness to the truth. He spent his life doing the work of his heavenly Father. As a 12-year-old boy, he said, I must be about my Father's business. Are you young people listening to this? I'm telling you, Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, said, I must be about my Father's business. You know, no matter how young we may be here in this service tonight, we can say, I must be about my Father's business. And Jesus spent his life doing his Father's business. He lived like a dying man. Hey, everybody here has an expiration day. Everybody here is going to die at some point if Jesus don't come. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And we want to live our life like a dying man. It was said about the preachers in New England in ancient days that the windows of the churches looked out at the graveyard so that the preacher in the pulpit, while he's preaching, can see where his parishioners are headed. He's a dying man preaching to dying people, and this is the way that we're to live our life, just like Jesus lived his life. He lived like a dying man. He had his eye on the end of the journey. And everybody in this place ought to have the same attitude that Jesus had. And so when we understand that we're living a life that has an ending somewhere, it is death that makes, one man said, death is what makes life meaningful. It's the frame around the picture of our life. And everybody has to face that someday. And we know that when we face that time, we want to know that we have done the will of our Heavenly Father. It's not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, that shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. If it's been your will up until this time, it's time to change, brother, and make God's will the purpose of your life. Someday we're going to give an answer to God. Someday we're going to stand before him. And it's either going to be my will or God's will that we live for. And it's important for us to change course right now before we get to the judgment bar of God. And life's not all about me. It's all about him, brother. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation chapter 4, this 24 elders and four living creatures fall down before the throne, cast their crowns before the throne and say, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. No, that's not what they say. They say, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He didn't say that we're created to bring pleasure to us. We're created to bring pleasure to God. People spend their life trying to live for pleasure and find life boring. Are you hearing me? I said they try to spend their life for pleasure and find life boring. But when you change directions and you begin to live your life for the glory of God and to please the Lord, life is never boring, brother, and you never run out of something to do for Jesus. The Bible tells us about Jesus that if everything was written that he had done, that the world could not contain the books. And Jesus died at 33 and a half years of age. And Jesus filled up his life with the will of his Father. Hallelujah. And God wants us to make use of the time. The Bible tells us to be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, when God tells us that we can to understand what the will of the Lord is, he don't mean for us to go through life just fumbling our way through life. He intends for us to pray through until we know what God's will is for our life. We're not to be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We live our life for his will. We live like a dying man. We not only live for the will of our Heavenly Father, we live like Jesus to bear witness to the truth. Well, it's important for us to be people of truth, to be a witness for Christ. The Bible tells us that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This is a purpose that we'd all live for. We live like dying men. We understand that it's our purpose not to promote ourselves, but to promote Jesus while we're living. We want people to understand how great he is, how wonderful he is, what Jesus has done for people. We want people to know that he's the Son of God, that he died in their place. He rose again from the dead. Amen. There's some things you got to believe about Jesus in order to be saved. You got to believe he's the Son of God. You got to believe that Jesus died for you. You got to believe that Jesus rose again from the dead. You know, that there's a lot of people that believe that Jesus lived. They believe that he died because all men that live soon die. And there's no problem for them to believe that Jesus lived. We have historical records of that. And to believe that Jesus died. But when you say that Jesus rose from the dead, you're talking about a miracle right there. And the world backs off right there when you say that Jesus didn't stay in the grave, but Jesus rose from the dead. You know, there's a lot of people that say, okay, well, yeah, we believe that Jesus in spirit rose from the dead, but the Bible tells us that Jesus went in that Jesus brought out of that grave the same body he took in that grave, except that it was glorified, and he had the scars to show. Praise God. Hallelujah. He had the scars to show that Jesus was risen from the dead. Hallelujah. You got to believe that. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we are living to bear witness to the truth. When life is over with us, brother and sister, it matters if we have left behind a testimony from our words and from our life that made people think better of Jesus and of our Heavenly Father. For the Bible tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We will have wasted our life if we do not live our life in such a way that people have a better opinion of Christ because of how we lived our life. We're living like dying people. We live to finish the work that God has given to us on earth. And everybody in this place, God has a plan for your life, a blueprint for your life, every young person. You don't want to go through life When you're 40 years old saying, I wonder what God's will for my life is. You don't want to be fumbling around through life. You want to get God's direction for your life. You want God's direction on who you marry. You want God's direction on what career you choose. You want God's direction on where you live, where you go to church. It matters. I'm telling you, it matters that you do the will of God about these things. That's four things right there that I mentioned that's just about going to decide whether you go to heaven or hell. And you want the will of God about these things. You want to know the will of God about these things. I'm telling you, God loves you enough. If you'll pray and seek Him with an honest heart, God will let you know what His will is. If you're willing to do His will, God will speak to you about His will. Hey, I'm confident of that. I know God is faithful to His children. God will let you know what His will is. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe God will do that? Don't you believe God cares enough for you to let you know what His will is? You don't have to fumble around through life. God wants you to finish the work that He's given you to do. Praise God. And you know, there's maybe something down the road you wind up doing that right now you have nothing, you know, you don't have any idea about it right now. But if you're fulfilling God's will where you are, and you know that right now what you're doing, you're in the will of God, and you're walking step by step as God directs your steps, and the Bible tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and you're obeying everything you know in your life today, hey, there's no telling what God will have you doing down the road. As you walk in His will every day following the Lord, God has plans for you you don't know anything about right now. Praise God. Hallelujah. But if you'll just keep on walking in the will of God, someday you'll see God has a purpose for everything that's going on in your life. All the training you're getting in your family, you know, as I mentioned to you maybe last weekend, when you're dealing with the people in your family, extended family, and people you cannot get away from, people that you have to deal with and rub you the wrong way and make hurt your feelings and all these ugly things that happen to you. And God's training you, testing you and training you. And down the road, God's got something in mind that He's going to use that training for. Down the road for His glory and His honor. Everything that comes our way, all those tests and all those trials, God's a training us for some purpose down the road. I had to do a report, a book report. No, it wasn't a book report. It was a report I had to do on Winston Churchill in school. I had to read some books about him, write a paper about him. And I guess all of you know who Winston Churchill was. He led Britain during World War II, made those great speeches. You know, the only thing I have to offer is blood, sweat, and tears, and so forth and so on. Inspired the whole nation by his oratory, and led Britain through World War II. He was, as a young man, Winston Churchill was reading history voraciously. And somebody asked him one day, why are you doing this? Why are you reading all this history? He said, I feel like that down the road, there's a purpose for my life. And I'm preparing for it. Well, every one of us here are preparing. Moses had no idea at 40 years of age what God had in mind for him at 80 years of age. 40 years of age, he's strong. He's ready to go to work. He kills the Egyptian. He's going to deliver the people of Israel. It wasn't God's time. God sent him into the desert for 40 more years. I don't believe Moses had any idea that he'd ever go back to Egypt. He had no idea that God would ever use him. He's out there on the backside of the desert. He's given up all ambition. And God spoke to him and said, I'm not through with you yet. And for all of these years, I've been training you for what I'm about to ask you to do. I want you to go get your people. Amen. Amen. So, regardless of how old you are, don't ever think God is through. Just keep on believing and trusting and following him. There's a work for us all to do, isn't there? When Samuel was rejected by the people of Israel as their judge, and they told him, we want you to anoint a king for us, just like all the other nations around us. It hurt Samuel's feelings. And he called Israel together and he said, testify against me. Whose horse have I stolen? Whose ox have I stolen? Testify against me. Nobody could testify against him. And Samuel said, the Lord forbid that I should sin against God in failing to pray for you. I can't be your judge anymore. I'm that part of my life is through, but I'm not through. I can keep on praying for you. In fact, I must pray for you or sin against God. And so Samuel recognized that there's still a work for him to do. Y'all, when life is over with, we want to be like Jesus. We want to say, I finished the work that you gave me to do. Y'all, I preach against country music, but I was flipping through the channels the other day in the radio, just listening to the radio sometimes when I'm riding. And there was a song that came on that grabbed my attention. You know, sometimes wicked people write good songs. Hank Williams, we sing some of Hank Williams' songs. We sang one the other day, didn't we? I saw the light. And I don't know how that happens, you know. I've known some wicked people that wrote good songs, good Christian songs. I don't know how that happens. I can't explain that, but sometimes it does happen. Anyway, I don't know who wrote this song, but it was a country music star singing this song, and it said, live like you were dying. And in this song, there's a story told about a man who was in his early 40s who got the word that he was dying. And he said, his friend asked him the question, how did that hit you? How did you react to that? And he said some things he did that most of us probably wouldn't do. He said he went skydiving and he went Rocky Mountain climbing and he rode a bull named Fu Manchu. But then he said some things that I think we all could learn from. He said, I loved deeper. I spoke sweeter. I gave forgiveness that I'd been denying. And he said, someday, I hope you get the chance to live like you're dying. He said, listen to this now. I was finally the husband that most time I wasn't. And I became a friend would like to have. And I finally read the good book. And I took a good, long, hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. I loved deeper. I spoke sweeter. I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. And someday, I hope you get the chance to live like you're dying. I don't know. Probably a wicked man wrote that. I don't know. But I'm telling you, there's some truth there for all of us. Love deeper. Speak sweeter. Forgive. Remember, we're all somebody on our way to eternity. We're to live like we're dying. I want us to stand together, Sister Judy. This is where we mess up, children, when we lose sight of eternity, when we're no longer living like a dying man or dying woman. And everybody in this place, regardless of how old you are, how young you are, there's a killer on your trail. Death is tracking you down through life. And nobody here knows how close death may be behind us right here tonight. And we're to live this day just like it was the last day I'd ever live on the face of this earth. In every church service that you come to, keep in mind it could be the last one that you ever come to. Oh yeah. And if we walked out of here tonight and had to stand before God before we ever get home, I wonder, have we done our best? Did we give Him the glory deserved? Have we worshiped Him as our Savior and our Lord? Have we lived for Him like Jesus did? The will of our Father, finishing the work He gave us to do, finding and following the will of our Heavenly Father. We want to live our life like a dying man. While they're singing, I want to open the altar for us tonight to come and pray and seek the Lord. I tell you, brother and sister, it's going to pay us to be full of the Holy Ghost in these last days. Live our life for Jesus without compromise. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Live a life that's pleasing to Him, sanctified unto the Lord.
I'll say yes. I have.
Amen. Come on, let's pray tonight while they sing.